I see. Let me check my, do my time check. Yeah, we're all set at 3:33. So welcome everyone to the November 23rd Finance Committee meeting. Debbie, will you please call the roll?
Grindel?
Here.
Sinek?
Here.
Ververka?
Here.
Well, welcome everyone. And if you recall, we finished last week's meeting. I think we've gone through the first 10 pages. However, at that time, the service at pages 6, I think 7 and 8, I believe.
Starts on 5.
Oh, on 5?
Rubbish is on 5.
Bottom of page 5, rubbish.
Alrighty, yes. So we'll pick up with services. I see that Leon, you're here with us. And so we'll start on the bottom of page 5 with rubbish. And Vern, I'll let you take over.
Thank you, Vice Mayor. Thank you, Council. Yeah, good to pick up here where we left off last week. I know sometimes going through line item budgets isn't the most exciting thing, but trust me, it's important. If you've been to any public administration classes and listened to the professors, there's a big saying that the most important policy document a legislative body passes in a year is their annual appropriations, their budget, because everything is driven off of the budget. So it's an important topic we have to go through. So Leon touched base with finance since our last meeting and with the mayor, and he was able to propose his 2021 budget. Not a tremendous amount of changes in the rubbish budget on a line item basis. Looks like the biggest increase that we're anticipating is budgeting $100,000 for recycling charges. So, Leon, is it just safe to say that because of the recycling market and such, we're just figuring that our costs are going up on that because there's not a lot of value and a lot of recyclables? Although I'm understanding cardboard now is now all of a sudden in demand, and pricing for cardboard has gone up recently.
You're muted, Leon.
Leon, you're muted. Sorry.
There it is.
You know, we bid this out along with the consortium. So the Cuyahoga County Solid Waste District has a consortium, and we're a participant within that. So the money, the recycling portion, you know, there's a fee moving forward. And I think, you know, I'm not sure what they're going to do when the markets go up or down. I think it's pretty much locked into where we're at. So I think that's where we're going to be for the time being. And we just based our budget based on the number of the tons of recycling that we've picked up over the last, you know, few years. And, you know, we average right around 800 tons of recycling a year. So that increases there. That's what we added it in for.
Excellent.
Leon,
any questions, observations on that that rubbish section there on the bottom of page 5? The
52? Yeah, Vern, I had a question. That amount that we're budgeting for wages, how many employees does that include?
So typically that just includes the three full-time employees that we have. So in the summertime, we run three. So between March and December, we run three because we run the yard waste truck every day. And then that drops off down. But we keep that third one in there. That just accounts for, you know, even doing the toter, the senior rubbish, and some of the special pickups.
We have four packers that we use. We use three of them. We rotate the fourth one.
So we bring it in the service. I mean, no truck sits for an extended period of time.
And of those packers, Leon, I mean,
The first two were from 2016, and then the second two were from 2017. So we're
in good shape.
Let's go a little while.
Question: In 2017, were we using the side load trucks at that point in time, or
we were just getting out of that?
just started?
Good afternoon, Council.
No, the side loaders were, I think they started, the city started using the side loaders, you know, back in
Okay, what about it?
2009?
2010, we started doing the...
I'm in a meeting right now, so you'll have to call back, thank you.
So about a decade we've had the containers.
You know, 2016 was zero, but I didn't know if that was corresponding with the side load change, or, yeah, just trying to get my head around the...
I'm sorry, what was, I didn't see...
In 20, the 2016 wage amount is zero, so obviously that was caught by somewhere else in 2016, but again, I didn't know if that was anything to do with the side loader, because I just have in my head, the side loader takes less labor, and would expect to see a declining trend in wages because of the side loader, but I didn't know when that started.
Yeah, that was about, that was 2010 we...
Okay.
Long time ago.
Leon, we had the side loaders through 2016, which is kind of a short period of time. What do we anticipate that the front loaders will last? What are you figuring, 10 years?
You know, so we kind of anticipate 12 years is what we're kind of banking on right now. That's where our thought process is when we went to these front loaders is 12 years.
Leon, the councilman said 10. You should have gone with his 10.
So sorry. The next capital item, next capital budget, not this year's five-year plan, but next year's, we'll start putting aside money for front loaders then.
Leon, is it safe to say that, to address Councilman Sinek's question, why no wages were budgeted for rubbish in 2016? Because that's when you kind of switched over to the system of identifying certain people that were just kind of specializing in that, whereas prior to that, it was kind of on a rotational basis, and we didn't have any specific service department employees that were specifically assigned to the rubbish, so we couldn't expense them out of that line because any number of people were performing that function.
Yeah, so back in 2016, before we went to the, we had the side loaders. We had a rubbish truck operator, a recycling truck operator. We had three guys on a rear loader for yard waste. Usually it was a driver and part-timers. And we had, you know, the toter man picking up all the specials outside the can. So that was six guys in the summertime that would go out on a daily basis. And then on Fridays when we did special pickups, we would, at that time, we would allow for another additional five more guys. So on a Friday, you'd have 11 guys picking up trash. And, you know, we've kind of reduced that down. So now all of our yard waste is one man front load operation. Our garbage is and recycling is all front man one load operation. Our toter man, our senior rubbish guy, he goes out and he just pulls the carts out. He's not picking up extra trash that's outside the can like he used to in the past. So we utilize him a little bit during the day, in the morning and in the afternoon, and in the middle of the day we have him do other jobs for us, you know, tasks. And then on Fridays we usually task typically one part-timer to do the special pickups because, you know, we're trying to pick up as much as we can on the actual garbage day as opposed to, you know, pushing things to, you know, Fridays like what we used to in the past.
Any other questions?
Off the subject of rubbish, but I'm assuming you're able to get caught up this week on the leaves since they kind of all came down in one big swoosh a couple of weeks ago, and now you're just kind of cleaning up as people get that to the streets.
Yes, the leaf collection is all picked up. Yeah, we're all,
actually, update everybody on the program. Your wisdom in purchasing those leaf acts, and we had limited use of an outside contractor, and you could see the streets for the most part. We are, and I usually identify our success with how many complaints I get. And knock on wood, we're doing very, very well this year.
Yeah.
That's some of the comments that I've gotten from residents too, how impressed they are with the leaf pickup and how grateful they are. So thank you, Leon, to your staff and yourself.
Thank you. You're welcome. Thank you.
Now, Leon, do we have two new ones that we're using or just one at this point?
So we did get our second one in. It came in last week at the beginning of the week, but you know, as the week went on, and we did use two, but limited on the second one.
You know, the other thing is that we're starting a new practice of using two trucks, leaving the leaf vac working. We just, when a truck is loaded, we disconnect the attachment. We put a new truck in place. That truck goes, the other one goes to the dump, and we move that truck to wherever he's needed. Wherever a truck is being filled and finished filled, he'll go to the other operation, and we'll detach and hook up. It takes 3 minutes to detach a truck and to pull him to the old service garage. So we're keeping the leaf vac going at all times, so it's about almost twice as efficient. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And next year we'll have new trucks with the extra additional capacity containers that let the air work. So we're going to be in really good shape in the future.
Very good.
The one operator that I spoke with was very pleased with that piece of equipment. I had a conversation with him, and it sure seems like when you watch that, it's a lot less labor intensive as far as the guys trying to swing around that big suction tube and rake and everything else. The new setup seems like they can get just about everything and locate it from the back of the leaf vac. So it's very nice.
And when Leon sends out the video, shows how efficient it compacts the ground leaves. It really is it's a next year should even be better in terms of our efficiency, since we came out of the gate a little late, but it was a great year for picking up leaves. Again, I think as finance director said, it was also the bad weather really probably knocked them down at one time. So good program so far this year.
So it would work out well if this equipment was available this year. I think, Leon, correct me if I'm wrong, that you switched the grinder with the leaf vac because these were available. And
yeah, we switched out the chipper on the capital plan.
Yep. Chipper, that's right. So it looked it was a great move.
Yep.
You know, on your part in finance. Any other questions regarding rubbish of either Leon, Vern, or the mayor? We'll move on to page 6. Oh, Dale, you have any questions?
No, I was just trying to look at my lower level to try to get my...
Okay, very good. We'll move on to page 6, everyone. That's buildings and lands.
Yes, and that on that labor line, that's probably everybody that's not categorized in that first category, the rubbish. Motor pull down below is generally the mechanic staff, and then water and sewer are the couple guys that are specialized or sent out most frequently on that on the sewer jet truck and that team. So this is kind of the catch-all for everybody else. So it's probably the largest labor. Well, actually, the water sewer is.
Nine people in this wage group here. Three people in the motor pool, as the mechanics, as the finance director said.
So let's see, everything, actually, what's being asked for in this category, the 5,300, is actually slightly less than what's been approved to date in the 2020 budget, that third last line. And that fourth last line there, apologize again, last week we had a little mislabel in here too. This one says 2020 approved final budget, the fourth column from the right, and that's really the 2019 final approved budget column. So just to be clear there, that you know what you're looking at. So last year actual expenses in buildings and land, $1,062,000. this year for, well, for 2021, asking for just a little bit more than that, 1.1 million. Any questions, any comments? Vice Mayor?
Looking at it over, it looks like everything's pretty much in line. I know there's a $75,000 down there, the resident tree trimming. I was going to ask what that...
So we took that out of our proposed budget for 2021.
I see.
What we're doing is we're going to review the ordinances from neighboring communities and see if there's a opportunity to do something that the residents can participate in, but they're going to have to pay to play, so to speak. But we'll have more information on that hopefully before the end of the year.
Mary, looking at something similar to what we were talking about with utilities, with that kind of...
Yeah, something similar, but this, if we're going to do something for a safety issue or sometimes you get these neighboring issues, we're going to have to collect more money. I think Valley View has a more realistic ordinance, of which I'll put that together if I haven't passed that out already.
Very good, thank you. Any questions from the committee or from council?
Yes, can anybody, the wages line, $286,000 in 2016, now we're looking at $490,000 in 2021. What's changed in this grouping of people that drive that sort of increase over 5 years?
I think you would see that a number of those in that 2016 went to that rubbish line, and then I'm not sure if we've added personnel since 16, Leon.
No. Overall, we haven't added personnel. We still have the same headcount within the department.
The big jump came in 2017. It looks like almost 90,000. And then another big jump from 2018 to 2019 went up another 80,000 there.
So I think if you look back in 2016, our SC&R was very high. It was over 700,000 in 2016. Then in 2017, it dropped down to 296,000. And then it's just been right around 330, 338, 339. So I think a lot of our back in 2016, I think the majority of our personnel were categorized within that SC&R, line, department line. So that's why, and I think we remember thinking back, now we're going back a few years, but I just remember having this conversation with the former finance director, and I think Maggie at the time, and I think we kind of readjusted those numbers to make them a little bit more accurate as to what people's functions were and how many people a day were using for specific jobs.
And Leon, you are correct. I look on page 14 where we have SC&R, and that wage figure was 706,000 in 2016, and it went down to 296 the following year in 2017. So it was a recategorizing of some of these employees. And SC&R has stayed pretty much plateaued in that mid 300,000 range, I see.
Since then, yes, correct.
Okay, any questions regarding motor pool? That's that figure is three employees, and we have three mechanics.
Right.
And have they been, are they seasoned employees? Have they been there for a number of years?
Two of them have been here for a while, and I think the third, our youngest one has been here, I think, 3 years now.
I see. The workload is satisfactory for the, can we keep those three real busy?
Yeah, we keep them busy, yes. I think it would be a newer equipment. I think it lessens the workload a little bit. We used to have four. We've gone down to three.
But your mechanics also work on police vehicles, fire vehicles, recreation vehicles, too. So it's not like they're working on their department vehicles only.
They probably miss working on the big city bus, though, don't they, Leon?
That was full-time employment right there.
Just that one. One bus.
At least an electrician.
Yeah.
Any other questions on page 6? If not, we'll move on to page 7. That's water and sewer.
Yeah, that's the one I think the mayor and Leon will talk the most about right now is the proposal for 2021 in this subcategory of the department, and it ties into our discussion last Tuesday regarding the engineering and this sewer division.
Yeah, that, to continue that where we left off with engineering, we propose creating a new and enhanced program. We have older infrastructure, as many of you know. And what we're trying to do is be more proactive and use less outside contractors. We have a number of contracts in place. They're good. They do a good job. The problem is their response time isn't as efficient as if they're in-house. So the plan is to quit talking about sewers and creek maintenance and sanitary sewers, but actually have a division which would be responsible to both engineering and service, that we could respond more quickly, have people being trained, cross-trained, so that we would be in a position to more efficiently serve our customer. We're talking about recording our daily activities. We'd be able to, with GIS, be able to monitor our sewer system, both sanitary and storm. And instead of being reacting, we'd be more proactive in our approach. In order to accomplish that, we need to change how we go to business. And Leon can talk more specifically about how we propose this new enhanced program.
So what so currently we have three employees within the department. We like to, and those employees are basically just our union employees. We'd like to increase that number up to a total of 7, in addition to a foreman that would kind of just focus in on all the sewer issues. The goal is to try to find somebody that has good working knowledge of the city and to really push the program forward. And we rely a lot on subcontractors to do a lot of work. And as the mayor said, the subcontractors do a good job for us, but also, we're dependent on their schedules. Where I think if we see issues arise, we'd be able to get on them a little bit more quickly. So we'd like to go with, try to increase from 3 employees to a total of 7 employees with an additional foreman. And that's kind of what we laid out here in the operating budget is to be able to, because that's I think, in essence, our largest issues we have. Are the issues with the storm lines and the sanitary lines that we're dealing with on a daily basis with the residents. We have the sewer jet, we have the catch basin cleaner, we have our street sweeper that helps, helps with that. We have a camera truck that I proposed in our 5-year capital plan, trading in or getting rid of our old camera truck, keeping some of that equipment, but upgrading to a new camera truck that's going to be a little bit more up to the 21st century. Our cameras will work with a new truck, but we've been having some issues with an old one. We're just trying to, you know, just get better, get more efficient, get better, get more proficient in doing some of this work. And that's what I proposed here in our operating budget, is to be able to do these things, you know, a little bit more in-house and a little bit more efficiently without having to rely so much on an outside contract.
Mayor, will this, the foreman that he would look to hire, would that be somebody he would be hiring in-house?
So we'd like to look at Joe Potoma, but I don't want to put any pressure on anybody, but someone with, like Leon said, a good working knowledge of both the sanitary, the storms, and has experience working alongside our service department personnel, so along with our engineering. So ideally, he'd be the kind of person we'd want.
Perfect. Thank you.
So this will increase our budget for that by about three times, I see, compared to last year.
Yes.
Yeah, the goal would be to, we have one dedicated crew now. The goal would be, we're realizing that in order to be sustainable and using technology with, you'll see the capital, we're talking about a new enhanced camera truck and new sewer truck we're putting money in, start putting money aside for. This business has become much more technical in nature and much more sophisticated. To that end, we want to start cross-training people so that we always have several crews available rather than one crew and then outside crews. So the goal is to put ourselves in a position to cross-train everybody and get people certified to be able to deal with this more sophisticated equipment and be able to respond to our customers on a timely basis.
So I'm not referencing the enhancement of services, which I understand, but if we are to look at these expenses, as Dave says, roughly three times, how does that compare to what our contracted expenses would have been for the services that we had as they existed? I realize we're going into a new world, but do we have a sense for that, Vern, a comparison between what that was versus this?
There's probably a lot to that response because of the multiple contracts we have with the creek, sanitary, storm. We'd have to go back and get dollar amounts that we've paid out under each of those contracts for the last couple of years, which I know is in the hundreds of thousands of dollars each year. And then break it out between the different categories there.
Is the hope that we reduce then what we pay like to some of these outside sources? I mean, we Geotech is one, and I forget any of the other. So ultimately, that will stay, at least stay steady, or maybe not. Or are we going to increase our output and what we can accomplish?
No, the goal would be to reduce our outside vendor cost. Again, that depends a lot of it, as someone mentioned, about the magnitude of the need at the time. I think what we're trying to do is have our own people be in-house training and be able to document the repairs, document the different needs so that we have a more fluid program going forward. And we can document so that we have some type of insurance policy to show people what we've done, so that we're not always at the short end, so to speak, when we identify a problem and it's a residential problem, a house problem. We can identify it for the people, and then we're on record. We also have it in our history log. So the goal would be to transition away from the dependency on the outside vendors. We need training our people, and then the right equipment to be able to offset that for a long-term strategy.
I see. Now, I to be educated, I know that like other communities, Broadview Heights, Seven Hills, have they charge the residents a sewer charge. I believe it's on their real estate tax. In those communities, does that money go towards these kind of services that we're providing? I just to get a reference. Because I see a number of real estate tax bills that have sewer charges and everything, and I wanted to, I guess probably should ask those communities what they use that money for, but if that's used towards these type of services or or not?
You know, I don't, technically, I don't know if it's part of, we pay, each of us pays our sanitary sewer fee to the to regional sewer.
Right.
But that's really, we don't get a lot of maintenance. We pay, we do our own maintenance for our sanitary sewer because we own, we installed the sanitary sewer. But I think in some of those communities, it's more of that's their mechanism for to offset some of their costs. Because they use an outside, they'll either use the county, they use the county or someone else to manage their sewer system.
I see. Thank you.
Part of this is we have three levels of component. We have storm, sanitary, we have creek. And all of them contribute. They don't just, they're not silos. They all overlap each other. And we're able to manage those three in unison with our current practice. We're just trying to plan for a long-term future and making sure that we're efficient and we're responsive.
Thank you. I know, Ken, you had a question.
Yeah, sir, along the lines of your question, Mayor, there is this Northeast Ohio Regional Sewer District, and I'm looking at their website. I can kind of tell that there are, to a certain degree, each community in Cuyahoga County can choose to be a member of NEORSD or not. And Independence has clearly opted not to be part of it as far as sewer maintenance. I guess, you know, we look at our water through that somehow, but as far as sewer maintenance, Independence is not part of NEORSD, I think. But I'm familiar with the new one. Can you elect in? Can you elect out? Have we looked at, you know, should we partner with, become a member of NEORSD or continue to do it on our own?
Well, again, the challenge is going to be
between.
It's a good question. The difference is a response time, and all of a sudden they're looking at 10, 15, 20 communities responding to the same storm, and Independence is used to respond one community at one time. So,
sure. Sort of the homeowners would pay a fee to NEORSD every month or quarter with their,
right.
That they don't have to pay now because the city is taking
that's
on
correct.
Responsibility. But you know, clearly this growth in this area, I think we have to remind the public that City of Independence is responsible for all this maintenance of all this infrastructure that's there, and it's getting older, and if you don't maintain it, that's when people's basements get flooded and bad things happen. So there's a cost there, but you know, it's certainly a necessary one, I think. And if I hear you right, Mayor, you're looking to, you know, beef up. It's probably been underserved in the past, given the incredible responsibility that goes along with making sure those pipes move the water out of the community. Am I summarizing the situation?
No, it's a fair assessment. Remember, we have Seven Hills, which drops its water, and it's sanitary, it's storm, and it's creeks into us, and we take it to the river. So we're caught between a rock and a hard place. I remember that back when Mayor Chandick was the mayor of Seven Hills, and we were their sewer system was really not well maintained, and it was a lot of inflow, and so I even went to, we changed the diameter of the pipe from Seven Hills to the Pacific. I told them, you're killing us. It just, you're just in Hillside. We changed it from 9-inch to 6-inch, and from and Cheryl Ann, because we were just getting killed with the flooding, and this was sanitary, it wasn't storming, because they couldn't monitor their sanitary system like we did, and so we were, again, that's just a historical tidbit, but suffice to say, we couldn't do that today legally, it'd probably be in big trouble, but back then we did, and then they went in through a more elaborate, they started charging their residents to maybe to do all these dye testing. So our system is not perfect. It's aging. I think you said it appropriately, Councilman Sinek. It's aging. And remember, we were at a moratorium back in the 60s because we didn't have a sanitary sewer system. They wouldn't let us build. So we have a system that's more elaborate. The technology's changing. The equipment's changing so that you're able to maintain it better. It costs a lot of money no matter what. The goal is to just be more responsive.
Dale?
Well, and I might comment that when we put the new sanitary sewers in and the storm sewers in, we had all sorts of difficulties trying to make connections in various areas. I mean, when houses were built in the 50s, hey, down the hill, we'll run the pipe toward the creek. So they didn't have a pipe to pick up the basement drain necessarily to take it to the sanitary. And so there is an issue with some cross connections that are out there that have existed forever. And the other difficulty is just our ability to know exactly what's out there. There are definitely some gaps in the records. So it would be interesting to get this program coordinated.
That and the fact that we're in economic development, we're talking about GIS, you know, to monitor clearly that the connection, as we identify a problem, we can identify the connection, locations, and it'll just help us create a more effective system of categorizing everything so that it's transparent in terms of who's working, what the problem is. When we get a call for a house, we should be able to take the GIS information, we should be able to take the history, and we should be able to go pinpoint where a sewer connection is, where it's out by the street, where the problem is, and identify. Look, we're pretty liberal in terms of our repairs. We help people out. And we do get cases where, you know, it is the person's private property responsibility. We discovered that with the Bramley project. Anytime we redo a street, we usually identify some of these. So we just keep getting better and better. And I think what Leon and what Don Ram, myself, and we're all trying to do is come up with a program that we're less dependent on outside contractors. We have redundancy in-house that we're able to respond on a timely basis. And as you all know, if you get the calls when I get the calls, if you're not responsive, then it's no one wins. So.
Any other questions? So this, Mayor, we look to implement this for 2021 then and get started on the new
enhanced program.
Program, yeah.
Yep, that's the goal, with your support.
Very good, and then that will be hopefully in our monthly newsletter, let the public know that we're placing a lot of money out of investment in new employees and in this program.
Got it.
Yeah, very good. Any other questions, Dale? And then Jim, you'll be next.
Well, that reminded me with what you said. When we are going with this new rubbish collection company starting January 1, do we have new decals lined up with what's being collected? And do we have information that's going to be going in the next newsletter so that we don't have a contamination thing related to the rubbish?
Leah, unmute, Leah.
Yeah, sorry, Councilperson Verbrugge, you broke up during your question.
Oh, sorry. It's that new camera. That's exciting. Yeah, my question is, the decals that are on the recycling container no longer will be correct with the new company. In other words, what is appropriate to recycle? Are we in the process of getting new decals so that January, February, we won't have people putting the wrong stuff in the recycle containers?
No, you know, they're pretty close to decals. Yeah, we're going to look to update all those decals, and I know we're coming up with a new recycling brochure that we'll be passing out or sending out to all the residents as well. But, you know, Kimball is the same company. We had the same company. They didn't change. They're just getting a little bit more strict on what they're going to allow and accept.
Jim, you had a question?
Thanks, Mr. Vice Mayor. One quick question for Leon. You know, one of the reasons we usually use outside vendors is because of equipment costs. What type of equipment costs are going to be needed to bring this? And obviously, we're going to have a joint meeting of the Streets and Sidewalks and Utilities to talk in greater detail, but what type of equipment costs are going to be needed for this new proposed program?
So, Councilperson Tregas, a lot of our equipment we already have. So we have a catch basin cleaner, we have a street sweeper, we have a combination sewer truck. We also have a mini excavator. So what we want to add is an additional mini excavator, and we've already had in a five-year capital plan, I think we started last year, putting aside money for a new combination vac truck. So that's one piece of equipment, or that's two pieces of equipment that we want to add. We already have a camera, we have a lateral launch camera, we have a mainline camera. We've been having issues with our lateral launch camera since we've had it. The company that sold to us is willing to give us a pretty decent credit on that truck, on that camera, and we can move a lot of our equipment into a new vehicle that's designed specifically for this, and we'll be able to have a greater capacity with some of our, the ability to record and to document all of our information that we have that we collect when we're out in the field. So that being said, an updated camera truck, which is in the 5-year capital plan, a sewer vac, which is in 5-year capital plan, and then a mini excavator, which is in the 5-year capital plan.
Thank you,
Vern. Now that we look at increasing our appropriations or our budget by $550,000, is there any areas that we should offset that? Other areas of the budget that we can reduce, because it looks like our income tax revenue is going to, it's plateaued and everything, and I know the discipline is, not to increase our budget too much, or if we do, to offset with some reductions, and just want to see what your recommendation would be.
Well, it would be generated my question too about our contracts. That's what I was trying to.
Right. I see.
So it'd be in the use of those maintenance contracts. So if we've already approved them for 2021, I don't recall on all of them, if they all run out at the end of this year and Don needs to re-up them for 2021, or if they were multi-year contracts where part of this year, part of next year, then it's going to just take the internal discipline to lower the reliance on the availability of the outside vendor contractor and pull the work in-house. So gradually over time, we should just see a natural reduction in the use of the maintenance contracts as this department starts to get staffed and equipped and up and running. So one bucket would go down while the other one's going up, and hopefully it's a fairly close one-to-one ratio of a drop in the maintenance contracts corresponding with the increase in this water and sewer budget.
It's probably going to take a little bit of transition period, because I don't anticipate, it going all of a sudden we're running like a smooth operation, because it's going to take a transition and have new people brought in and that. But the hope is that that we'll be able to offset the increased costs with reduced contracts. But
Vice Mayor, you're correct. It's going to take several years to transition from the past practice to a future opportunity. So, yes.
Very good. But hopefully the ultimate goal, and Mayor, I know you always look forward, a look ahead like that, is ultimately 10 years from now, there'll be a tremendous savings having our own program, like we did with the engineering department.
Absolutely.
Any other questions regarding the water and sewer before we move on to the administrative part of the
one more if I may, Vice Mayor.
Yes, Mayor.
Like you just touched upon it, it's hard to gauge the success of the engineering group when so much more work has been applied to that group. So with the sewer, it's the same thing. We could be efficient, we could wean ourselves away from some of these private contractors, these specialists, but we also might be taking on more load, more work. So,
it takes a number of years. It'll take a number of years. Like, you couldn't really judge the engineering department after the first couple of years. You had to wait, see, at least 5-6 years. And now after 10, 12 years and everything, we've seen that it was a very good move at that point. So there'll be some growing pains, and we'll have to understand there might be some, some mistakes made along the way, but hopefully the bottom line is that for the future, this will make a lot of sense. We provide better services for our residents. Any other comments, Leon, from your perspective?
You know, I think, you know, we have a good group of guys that understand the sewers now, and I think being able to grow it and provide a better service to residents is what we're looking to be able to do, and to be able to own the outcome as well. You know, because I think we do a good job for our residents, and we just want to continue to kind of enhance that service for them.
Very good. Well, I can mention our system is getting older. All the time, just like we are, and plus the weather is weather has changed quite a bit. We can recall from when we were back growing up as kids back in the 70s, things have shifted. I guess you can call it global warming or that, but I mean, we had snowstorms and rough winters back then. Now it seems like it has shifted to maybe a little warmer climate, but still equally as rough on our infrastructure. So any other comments or questions before we move on to administrative service? Let's move on to the last category on page 7. Vern, any comments?
Well, you keep dreaming about the last category because we still have cemetery, we still have SCM and R.
Oh, that's right. I was just looking at my page there and I saw they go to the bottom. Very good. Well, yeah, the cemetery we'll definitely get to. That's something that I think we need to take a look at, and that's in Chris's area of interest there. So, but with the administrative, any questions or any comments, Vern?
Leon, Mayor, doesn't look like any major overhauls or changes in that subcategory this year for 2021.
The only change that I would like to do is we have Marie is our full-time office coordinator, and we have a part-time admin clerk, and we'd like to move our part-time admin clerk to becoming full-time.
Full-time.
As a workload.
Wages have increased by about $50,000. Is that incorporated in that move?
Yeah, that's why we added an extra, I think, $25,000 or $30,000, and therefore to transition Anissa from part-time to full-time.
And the goal would be to have some overlap, but also have some extended hours communication contact with people.
Very good. So, two full-time. Any other questions, either Vern, the mayor, or Leon in this category? Then we'll move on. Vern, we'll move on to page 8, which is the cemetery.
Yeah, and you see cemetery there in the 110 now, starting this year, and there's still technically the cemetery fund, and that's a fund 840, 8 something, 835, and it's technically still in existence, but to try to get the total service department cost reflected in the operating budget instead of a separate fund, we moved the cemetery expenditures out of the cemetery fund into this 110, the general fund here. So that's why you don't see previous year's data in this 110 category. It's essentially the one employee and that employee's payroll costs. Yeah, and just some nominal supplies and materials. Anything else major really is kind of budgeted out of other lines, but they're still asking for $6,000 for the things they need to do down there on an annual basis.
I see the health insurance was removed for the proposed budget.
No, right now the person that's most often performing the cemetery sexton function, the medical insurance is being taken out of 5,300, the buildings and lands category. But if this individual or somebody else is actually named the cemetery sexton, we could just as easily move that expense category back into this this cemetery subcategory.
Are there other areas where we have wages in one category and like our health insurance in another, Vern?
It gets a little difficult when you have multiple employees doing multiple functions. This one has been Tim Topolsky mostly, but it's our understanding it's not exclusively when his hours come over and they're approved. The vast majority of them seem to be allocated to the cemetery, but maybe not all of them, and that could be the reason why we still have his medical insurance expensed out of the 5,300 category. It's still out of the service department budget.
Yeah.
So it's not like he works for service and his medical's being expensed out of engineering. It's still out of the service department budget. It's just one of the different subcategories here.
Mayor, you were about to say something?
Yeah, my comments actually pertain to tomorrow's agenda. Our goal is to have something to be able to discuss tomorrow about cemetery and the Public Buildings Lands Committee agenda. Not sure we'll make it, but that's our goal. About the cemetery expansion and different burial opportunities.
Yeah, we've been talking about that for a number of years, and then hopefully it'll become a reality, because I know we'll have to make a decision sooner rather than later in that area. I don't know how many lots are still available for burial.
I think there's like 50 left, 70, 50, 60, 70.
Mm-hmm. Available for sale is somewhere in that number.
Yeah.
Very good. Any other questions of Vern or Leon or the mayor regarding the cemetery?
I think if you want to flip to the last page, that would be the SCM&R.
Yes, I was going to ask him. We'll get that taken care of while Leon's here and everything. So if we can move to page 14, the very last category on our spreadsheet there, SCM&R. Vern, I'll let you take over.
Yeah, that's street construction, maintenance, and repair. So obviously a very important category for our community, given the job we pride ourselves on doing as far as maintaining roadways. And one of the bigger operating costs in this department is that salt supplies line. And it's always a crapshoot. You could see that's been as low as $153,000 back in 2017, and it's been as high on an actual basis as almost $400,000 the year after that in 2018. So all we can do is budget based on some long-term averages and see where each particular year comes in above or below that kind of long-term average trend.
I noticed that we've only used $134,000 this year, so it looks like we'll be well below. I take it that we have a supply of the road salt, Leanne, well supply.
Yes, Vice Mayor, we are loaded. Our salt shed is loaded, and our salt dome is loaded as well. So we have right now we have a full complement of salt.
And we're required to buy a purchase of minimum, aren't we, under the consortium?
Yes, so typically it's funny, because when I first started working here, we were like, 6,000 to 7,000 tons a year was our kind of what we would shoot for. But, we're down to, I think, 5,000 tons, so we're 2,000 tons lower than what we used to be, and we're required to buy 80% of that, so we're at 80% of the 5,000 is what we're required to purchase.
Leon, is that because of the makeup of the winters the last couple of years, or is it because through the technology with our equipment, we've been able to apply the salt in a little more technologically advanced manner where we can accomplish the same thing as far as road clearing and safety, but not have to use as much salt?
I think the winters, we kind of gauge our winters by how many times we count all the senior snowplow drivers. And the first couple of years I worked here, we were calling about, you know, a dozen times plus. In the last few years, it's been a lot less. So, you know, it's just a lot less snow. You know, a little bit of ice, but, you know, just a lot less.
Okay.
You know, we haven't.
I think that by the way, I don't want to take away your thunder, but the new trucks should be in later this month and next month. And Leon, if I remember correctly, they have a much more sophisticated dialing system to monitor the salt usage.
Yes. So yeah, we will be able to monitor salt usage. All these trucks will be equipped with pre-wetting brine, so we'll be able to hopefully reduce the amount of salt we use by using more brine and you know, being a little bit more you know, conscious of how we're applying our salt, not just you know, opening up our spreaders full bore and just laying it all down. You know, about really, you know, selectively laying down the salt when it needs to be laid down. And I think it'll be in the new equipment, I think will help us do that. So we'll know exactly
with how much storm tracking and GPS, we should be in better shape.
Yep. Yes.
I notice our bill for the electric for streetlights has come down markedly, you know, from 4 years ago, 5 years ago. Is that LED lighting has anything to do with that, or?
I think it's a lot of different things. We still communicate with our supplier right now. They've been, I think they got probably a little shaken up because of a potential outside vendor coming in, and so much more responsive to outages, much responsive to bad lights, and so, and as we transition to this new, and the state, I think the PUCO changed the rules so that they're able to give us a better rate based on the new regulations. Is that your interpretation, or is there something I missed?
I think that's correct, Mayor. I think the First Energy got their new rate approved by the PUCO last December, and I believe they've been applying that to the City of Independence. So that was a pretty substantially lower rate than they were charging the year before. And we had talked about that in Utilities Committee at some time, and there had been some ideas about trying to, you know, do something rather innovative, creative, but involved a legal challenge and probably some years down the road. So First Energy was being a little bit proactive, realizing there was competition, and they've extended that rate through this year.
Yes. And so there's three levels of involvement with that. Placing all your bulbs, or the other extreme would be as they go out, they'll replace them. And so we're trying to figure out what the best strategy is long term.
And I don't know how other council members feel, but I know some of our neighborhoods that it'd be nice to add a few lights for safety and for security. Some of our streets are awfully dark and you know, not well lit. And I think it just, you know, not that there's a crime wave or anything, but I just think safety is equated to a little better lighting at nighttime too. I know we talked about some of the parking lots on Rockside, but even in our neighborhoods, I think could use, you know, maybe, I don't know who would decide on that, but unless you get a part of the city, but there are a number of streets, I hear people say, you know, our street's not well lit, and we, you know,
yeah,
they like to take evening walks with their pets and that too, so.
Well, the more sidewalks we add, the more you're going to find this to be true. The challenge is where to put them, because inevitably, you pick a spot. You better have four people involved agreeing to that spot. If not, I'll get the call, and it won't be much fun.
Yeah.
Speak to what you said, Mayor. So when we do our enhancements and put in the sidewalks in areas where perhaps they were not previously, do we then at that time do an evaluation for the lighting in the area? Because as you said, we need more if we have more sidewalks.
Yeah, I can't speak historically, but I mean, I can say this, that when we do our landscape walkthrough at the end, that would be the time to look at new streetlights. Because the mechanisms are there, it's just a matter of where to put them. And so we can identify that. And then as we're talking about trees, talking about landscaping, that would be the time. And of course, anytime someone calls, if they can identify and show us the location of the pole number, and that the name, everybody's in a sync, it's easy to put a light on it. Hmm.
I think incorporating that as a routine component of that last process, as you indicated, would be very helpful in the future.
Yeah, I'll talk to Leon. Leon, I talked to Don Ram to find out for sure what the mechanism is that triggers, other than when they call.
Well, this year you'll have two new sidewall in 2021 on Hillside, so that'll be a good pilot program just to see if, right. With the additional sidewall, we need some lighting there to make sure, you know, for safety reasons.
Good point.
Any other questions regarding SCM&R? This way we can let Leon take a break then. Any other questions, or for Vern or the mayor on this area?
Well, when you add the SCM&R total to the total service number on the bottom of page 8, it comes out that with the proposed additions for next year, service is a $5.4 million budget annually, and when you look at police department being about the same $5.5 million, and the fire department about a $4 million department, you've got $14 million of the operating budget right there with three departments, almost $15 million. So it's three big departments there between police, fire, and service. Not to diminish by one iota the importance of the other departments, but just on a dollar value basis, that's your big three there.
Right. Yeah, right.
Very good. Well, I think, Vern, if that takes care of that, we go back to page 11. And Leon, thank you very much for your input and assistance in going through this with council.
No problem. My pleasure. Thank you.
Bye, Glenn.
Yeah, top of page 11, we left off with economic development, correct?
That is correct, yes.
Correct. And I think it's good that the mayor's on, and I don't know, economic development director might have to step out too.
No, Jessica's here. She's a...
Jessica would not miss this one. She's got a lot of selling to do, so she wouldn't forget. She wouldn't miss this one.
Yeah, well, when your 2019 final approved budget's $231,000 and you're asking for $764,000, yeah, you got some skin in the game for this one. But we've talked about this, so it's no big surprise. You've got the two pieces of legislation on the agenda for the wayfinding and the branding and such. So that's the big one there on that promotion line, and some wages too that Earl and the mayor will talk about as far as the vision for the department from a personnel staffing standpoint, and then that promotion line as far as tying that into the legislation that's currently on second reading. On the legislative agenda.
I think maybe it would be best to, do we just want to go things through the order in which they are presented?
Very good, yes.
We want to start at the top there with the wages.
All right. So what you have in front of us is adding potentially two staff members. The first is the economic development specialist position, which I believe you guys all know is currently posted. That's kind of bringing up an old position that was previously in the department that has been not filled for some time. But given the volume of work that we're trying to accomplish here in economic development, it's kind of important to have a right-hand person. The second position is, as you'll see, is a GIS specialist. And this, just to kind of give people some background, GIS is Geographical Information Systems. A person in that field probably wouldn't necessarily have to live here in the Economic Development Department, but we put it here kind of as a placeholder. It's something that could work well here in Economic Development or with our Building Department, Engineering, or even IT. And so what, to kind of give some a little bit more background on GIS, the concept here is that we look at our geocoded data and able to track assets and workflow to look at things in a more spatial manner. So, you know, obviously we've previously talked about some stormwater inventory, which could be very helpful if we had that information geocoded so that we knew where assets were and what those assets, more specific data on those assets. Every fire hydrant in the city, light posts, all of that information could be geocoded, and it makes it a little bit easier for us to track when stuff has been serviced, and again, more details about that. And so that's kind of what would be housed, the responsibilities of that person in the GIS specialist role. Obviously, it's a little bit more technical, and you're building out data in specific systems. Most commonly used would be ArcGIS.
You know, if I might just interrupting for a second. We mentioned earlier about the storm sewers and sanitary sewers. Through this system, we'd be able to pinpoint the locations of connections, and people do landscaping, cover things up, but we'd be able to identify based on this information, this data.
Correct.
We'd be able to go and find that precisely.
Yes, and you'd know exactly, you know, if that was a 8-inch main or if there was a 6-inch pipe. So it would give you a lot more details about what's actually in the ground that we can't see.
So this would be an overlap of what the engineering department would normally handle, and that's
an enhancement, because right now we don't have a pure GIS system, or we don't utilize it effectively.
I see. Jim, you had a question.
You're muted.
Muted.
Thank you. Yeah, so Jessica, relate this to economic development. So I understand GIS, and I'm trying to think, how does this help you to recruit people and retain them here in Independence?
Well, it's helpful to know what utilities are where. It's also helpful to know the capacity. When I'm responding to leads, not only am I asked, you know, if there's a certain site, but how that site could be developed and what the capacities are at that site. So a lot of the information that I have to provide is really specific data about utility capacity, excess capacity, and that information could be maintained in the GIS system, as well as looking at a site, plopping a building of a certain size to see how that fits and that works spatially on that site.
How do we do that now without this function?
Right now we're lacking some of that data. We are able to use some skills from the engineering department, but some of this other information, as I kind of said in the beginning, isn't necessarily information that has to be housed here in economic development, but it could work in either IT, the building department, or engineering. But building out our GIS information is kind of critical. We're a little bit behind the eight ball on that.
Compared to other communities.
Yes.
Any way does it help with fiber optics? When we talked about that in the past, about knowing that. Is it related?
It can be helpful, but there's proprietary information, and there's also national security concerns. So finding out fiber optic information is a bit challenging. If we do know that information, we can't make it public.
So then, Jessica, say that somebody wants to come to the city and they have an area where they like to develop, you'd be able then, with this new position, this new person would be able to advise them what are the capabilities would be of that piece of property would satisfy what their requirements would be and everything?
They'd be able to help in that area, and they'd also be able to help in other areas of the city.
It goes back to the car wash approach we talked about for our customers. When they come into the city, this would be another tool to be able to, whether it's economic development, engineering, IT, just one of those overlapping tools that as you become more sophisticated, helps you just become more on a more timely basis, be able to respond more responsive.
So we know what areas in town, if they're interested in bringing a project here, we'd be able to steer them towards different areas of town that would satisfy their needs?
Correct. For example, I was working on a project that was looking at building on a piece of land on Pleasant Valley. but they also needed to know what the excess sewer capacity was at that site. And so that requires knowing about the utility size of that infrastructure.
So prior to this, did we just not have an answer for them, or did we have to use some other resources to be able to provide that to our potential customers?
I can't answer that question.
Yeah, I can answer that. What we would do is we'd go back to the original sanitary sewer maps, and then we would be able to manually go and
trace back,
derive this information.
Okay. Jim.
Yeah, Dave, I'm just curious, could this, I mean, I'm not a big contracting out person, but it seems to me that the function could have value, but is it a full-time job? Is it something that, you know, there's not that much developable land that we have in Independence, and, you know, and we already have developers working on parts of that. I mean, is this something that we could do on a part-time basis or contract it to somebody who can help us to do this on a need basis?
We could have very easily have put this, with all fairness to economic development, blame me, because I could have stuck this in engineering as easily. It'd probably be more easily understood if it was in engineering, because service would use it, engineering would use it, economic development use it, IT. It's just something that everyone would use. It'd just make it more efficient for us. And most more sophisticated communities are have a GIS system or team or somebody to managing that information on a daily basis.
So basically, Mayor, even though we have it under economic development, it really it spreads out over three or four different departments.
This is almost like IT. Almost, you can put it under IT. Other communities, they put it under IT because it's an extension of that overlap umbrella use. It's not just germane to one area. So in all fairness, I probably put it in the wrong spot, but I watched some other communities, what they're doing, and it just overlaps well into economic development, IT, engineering. Just one of those IT type components.
So it's not broken down, but what's the cost of this unit, or is there a cost for it, a specific cost?
I think it's an employee cost, huh?
There's an employee cost, but then there's a technology component of that, of which we're putting together. We're doing our due diligence right now as we speak, aren't we, Jess, on that?
Yes. Yes.
So there's two components, two aspects. There's the labor side of it, but then there's the technology side of it, which we're going to share with you when we finalize our more robust IT initiative.
Yeah, my concern is that between the new department, the water and sewer that we have, and then the proposed increase, that's over $1 million. In additional operating money. So that concerns me somewhat, although I know it's going to be offset by not having as much in contracted services and everything too, but that's where my big concern is, to hopefully fit that in because of the increase and because of COVID and everything else. It's I don't know how the rest of the council feels, but
no, your point's well taken. Your point's well taken. We're taking these initiatives to be very proactive based on what we see coming down the pike in terms of the climate, the business climate. And we don't want to be reactive. We want to be proactive in some of these, to try and convince some of these more sophisticated users that we're still the best location, and here's the reasons why.
Very good. Dale, you have a...
Is Brecksville one of the communities that uses this?
GIS, their engineering group, I believe. I can't verify that.
I guess my question would be, you know, Brexel, for example, has a great deal of open land and open property for development. It sounds like if GIS would be needed, that they would have that program. If they don't, what other communities have this particular program, and could they demonstrate the need and how valuable it is for them?
I know Westlake has a GIS person on staff. I'm very familiar, obviously, with the city of Green. They have a dedicated GIS person on staff. And again, it's about more than just developable land. It's about understanding your assets and what's available in the ground.
You know, I think Hudson has a very robust GIS program. They created something. What we'll do is we'll put together a little program that we can share. We'll have a meeting with council. I think that'll be more convincing.
And I think what you said before, Mayor, we could take this out of economic development. When you look at these numbers here, it kind of skews because it's really not all for economic development.
No.
It helps the city in many different functions, but it makes economic development go from whatever we spend, $230,000 to $764,000. And it's not that whole number, but it makes you look at it two or three times, you know.
That's
supposed to be there.
That's fair. I think we'll get with the finance director, and we will reallocate in final form, because you're right. I said, blame me for that when I stuck it here, but we could very easily have put it, probably more appropriately, either put it in engineering or put it in IT.
And I would appreciate, Mayor, some additional information.
Absolutely. I heard that, and that's, we'll do that. We'll do both of those items. So, yeah, absolutely.
Very good. Any other questions or concerns?
On that wage line, or you want to talk about that promotion line now, too?
I want to talk about that promotion line.
The promotion line is the other big elephant in the room, besides me.
Maybe that's for a change, too.
My computer's not working.
You're breaking up on me. Hold on.
I can't hear you. I'm sorry, but...
Oh, so these squares are turning dark.
Now, Jess, they're being very nice to you right now. Just by the way, that's a nice way of saying you better have a good explanation for this.
I got it.
Welcome to Independence, by the way, Jessica.
I live here. I grew up here. I'm not an outsider.
You take a piece of the pie rather than the whole thing.
Yeah. So the first item in here, you'll see, is the City of Independence Magazine and Hospitality Guide. It's a partnership with Great Lakes Publishing. The city has worked with Great Lakes Publishing in the past to do this magazine. As you'll remember, last October, an edition came out. It featured Top Golf. We would like to do this magazine on an annual basis. It's a great economic development tool because it tells more information about our community. It's a great resource to leave at our hotels, as well as our employers can use it as a recruiting tool. The investment from Great Lakes to help us to do the publication is about $9,000. The magazine would also be polybagged with some editions of the Cleveland Magazine, which would also help us market outside of Independence. The next two items are things that are on the council agenda for next week in some fashion. So we have $77,000 set aside for branding, should council consider that, as well as potential for a phase two marketing program that we have a placeholder for about $50,000. The third thing is the Guide Studio Wayfinding Placemaking contract, which is the $32,100. Again, those are things that we'll be discussing in more detail at the Economic Development Committee meeting next week. If we should choose to move forward, we're trying to look at some new tools and how do we reach businesses that we haven't reached before. This is, again, trying to market Independence outside of the community that knows us so well and outside of Northeast Ohio. We've budgeted about $50,000, and the reason why that number is so high, one of the things that we'd like to do is create a video, and we've seen what some other communities have done. We believe this would be very helpful with our downtown project. These videos don't come cheaply. This would include kind of some aerial footage, some drone footage, as well as some overlaid graphics of the potential for that development. Knowing what another neighboring community paid for a similar video, those are about $25,000.
If I might interrupt, and the audience that that video is used with?
It would be used as an attraction tool. So for people who are not familiar with our area, as well as potential developers and investors who'd want to locate into our downtown area.
Thank you.
The next item is banners. You know, we've had those banners on Rockside Road. We've had a little bit of a discussion about them and how people feel that they're generic. Again, if we update our branding, again, that's going to update our messaging, and those banners are an item we'd like to update as well. It's a significant investment. There's 49 poles on Rockside that currently have those banners, and we're not saying we'd put banners back up in that same amount of frequency, but if we did, that would cost us about $20,000. Again, some additional promotion to do some really targeted marketing. I mentioned before that we'd like to do some geofencing and some more paid LinkedIn advertising, again, for some attraction purposes. So we've updated that that number to be about $30,000. The second from the last thing is updating of our zoning code. And you might wonder why we're thinking about that as a project. Our zoning code, most of it was written in the 1960s. It has a lot of gaps in it. We'd want to bring that up so that it was in today's standards, kind of address some best practices, fix the outdated components of our code, help us evaluate portions of the code and upgrade them. For example, one thing that we don't have that many communities do is a masonry requirement. So new commercial structures that go up would need to meet such a percentage of masonry so you don't see metal-sided buildings. It would also allow our zoning code to be a little bit easier to use. So when new construction does happen, it's a little easier for the end user to navigate that code. Again, since it was written in the 1960s, most of it, it is a bit cumbersome. We do have a quote from one of the area firms just to kind of give us a ballpark idea on how much that might cost. While it is significant, that is about $105,000 investment for us. And then we left about $50,000 in the budget for additional planning services. You know, as we do the downtown plan and the Northwest Quadrant, there might be some additional need for us to engage some professional services, as well as some of our other undeveloped lands. You know, we look at the Cloverleaf area as an area where there could be some potential redevelopment, but what does that visioning look like? And it's helpful to bring in a fresh set of eyes to help us navigate that and plan for its future. So I know it's really aggressive, but we're trying to navigate in a world that none of us have ever navigated before. So this post-pandemic, we're trying to show that Independence has a bright future. We're trying to use different methods to reach that audience and keep us at the forefront of that of the world. So when people are looking to do development, they think Independence first.
Dale.
Couple of questions. First of all, let's hit rewind for a second. You mentioned the October Topgolf magazine. Now, was that a cost to the city?
Well, I can't speak to that. It was done in October of 2019, but based on the contract and my previous experience with Great Lakes, there was probably a similar investment by the city.
And when we do the videos, I mean, are those the short bits that we saw? That were those samples or what?
No, that was what we were trying to do with those videos that you saw, and there's a series of four of them, is to really specifically focus on our restaurants. We would try to do something a little bit different when it comes to our downtown area and the visioning of that site. So it wouldn't be of that same look and feel.
Okay, because obviously I support the idea of getting information out related to our residents, the restaurants, but I would say, I don't know if this is the time to mention it, but I found the videos not easy to follow. So I don't know. I mean, they were very quick. The flashes back and forth between the different restaurants was very quick. So if that was an example, I was very tuned into that.
That wouldn't be what we'd be looking for this larger downtown video. The video of our restaurants was intended to be quick because they're designed for social media, and people don't spend a large amount of time watching social media videos.
The videos we're talking about are more, some of our other more sophisticated communities are doing them as a business attraction feature. We've seen a couple of them, and you can see where they make a difference. They use a lot of drone footage, so they're comprehensive. And so when somebody's looking for a new site, remember, these people looking for sites aren't the same type of people that were looking for sites 20, 30 years ago.
They're also doing a lot of animation to show you the potential of what an area might look like. You know, once road improvements have been made, once some structures have been constructed, it gives you a different look and feel for an area that you see in today's light.
Jim.
Thanks, Dave. I think this is kind of part of a broader discussion. Do you think maybe we should talk about these in some detail at the economic development meeting to give a little bit more of a, you know, structure to it and talk about the theory and what you're trying to accomplish with all of these things?
Sure.
We can talk about it.
Yeah.
But
as long as you approve the budget, that's okay. Yeah. Your point's well taken. I'll leave that up to the chairman and to Jessica to help us figure out how to navigate this appropriately.
Yeah, it's a departure. It doesn't mean it's good or bad. It just it's a rather substantial departure, and I think more details need to be known before approving a budget of this magnitude.
You know, we'll meet with the finance director. We'll rework the budget, take out the GIS, and streamline this. And then we, at the economic development committee meeting, we can then go in more detail if that helps council.
Yeah, okay. My main is just to hear from other communities how successful these programs are. I know the social media is a lot different than it was when I was on council before, but I remember with Mayor Ramos, we did a number of videos because I was chairman of the community services. They never saw the light of day. I pull them out now to get a good laugh of what happened back then. But, you know, they never got utilized. I don't know how much the city spent money on, but I thought that they would have it. So I like to see something, you know, that it'll pay dividends to us and not just an expenditure and we have nothing to show for it. At least I can speak for myself and maybe other council, we like to be sold on the advantage of that it's worth the investment we're putting into this as opposed to some other, you know, expenditure. Because, again, we're talking about over $1 million of new expenditures between two proposals, and we want to make sure that, you know, they're well invested for the community.
Absolutely.
And I think to add to that, you know, Jess made the point about it's going to be a new world after this pandemic, and I respect that. It's also potentially going to be a new world for us from a financial standpoint, so I think we have to balance those two ends a little bit.
And Jessica, if you could rate the importance in your mind of each one of these, so Councilor, if we do not pick them all, and I know you don't want to hear that, but if we do not pick that all, at least Council will have a recommendation from you of what you think is the most important one down to the least important one.
And that's fine. And there's some things that, you know, I put together a pretty aggressive list of items. If we have to kick some down for another year, that's acceptable as well.
In my mind, I'm looking at it like a 5-year capital improvement plan, but maybe going to 3 years and maybe over a 3-year period, try to do all this. I don't know. That's just me talking. I'm just trying to justify spending that much money.
No, that's a fair approach. We'll get with finance and reallocate, and then we'll prioritize. And then if the economic development chairman wants to call a meeting, we can be more efficient in making sure that we get our points made.
I think we have a pretty full agenda for our meeting coming up.
I would just add, with so many of these things, if you do them all at once, how do you really measure what, if anything, is effective? I mean, that it's one thing to spend money, but there has to be a tangible, measurable outcome to these things that we're aiming for. I'm not sure that's well defined at this moment, but what is the tangible, measurable outcome has to be defined. And also think about it in context of COVID and, you know, in the next year, what's the likelihood of major real estate development happening anywhere? I mean, it's one thing to track builders and developers, but in this environment, is that just foolish? Maybe it's, you know, get the, you know, you got to lay these things out in over time and have a plan ready to go, but you also have to balance it against the economic realities of people aren't building buildings to bring people to work in one space right now. And you just got to, you know, again,
actually, you make a good point. Councilman Sinek. We're getting play from existing users. We're getting play from users from other parts of this area that want to come to Independence. What do you want to come in a different way, form, or fashion that's being defined as we speak?
Yeah, very good points. And like I say, I'm more apt when I look at that. I know that the reorganization of the water and sewer, that's almost an all or nothing. We need to have the employees. We need that's a big investment that'd be difficult to chop up. Where here, Jessica, if you can give us an idea of your, you know, maybe bits and pieces, like Tom mentioned, a 3 or 4 year program, we can slowly and bring that in, and also monitor the conditions with COVID and everything else. We'll be able to, I think, be a win-win situation to gradually put these programs into place.
That'd be a
fair
approach.
I think we're going to have to spend some money, though, to make us stand out from our competition.
Oh, definitely.
But I would add to that, it's how much money makes sense in the economic times, and what Ken had mentioned about how do we evaluate if we're doing a scattergun approach, which one of those BBs are the ones that actually were positive. I like Tom's idea. If we're going to do a number of these things, at the very least, we should have enough time in between to be able to do some quantitative evaluation, and then decide if that continues or that's something we drop when we move to something else.
Fair enough.
Very good. Any other comments or questions from council?
I appreciate the discussion. We'll get with finance and we'll prioritize and we'll also make modifications.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, Jessica, for your input.
Vice Mayor, it's 5:05. I'm still good to go, but I don't know if other members online here kind of budget a 5:00 either hard or soft stop. So I'll leave
it up
with you guys to decide.
Sure. I think we hit the two areas, Vern, that you thought would have the most the most length as far as discussion goes and everything. Council, you feel like going another half hour to 5:30?
Sure. Yeah, we can knock a few of these out then, I think.
That's what I'm thinking.
Because we're prepared.
We've done the toughest parts.
Yep,
so let's move
absolutely.
Let's move right on to boards and commissions. I don't think there's much to discuss there, Vern.
No, pretty stable as far as the cost. It's just to pay all the people that get paid on architectural board, zoning board, planning commission, etc. The OPRS cost and not a big cost driver there.
Very good. Well, if there's no question, Guardian, let's move on to general government and the mayor's office. And I noticed, Mayor, there's an increase of about $70,000 in the wage category.
Yep. You know what? The bottom line is there's not just COVID, but there's a lot of different pull in so many directions. You can only respond so quickly. And I think more support in the office than last time I was here. I just think we need to
get
more support in this office. And it really, it's more to make us more efficient from an organizational standpoint. I'm not saying more of a position that can support the various departments in a more timely basis, answers back to people, and it's all about communication and efficiency. So,
is it just on my end, or Mayor, you're breaking up for me?
It's a bad connection, yes.
It is bad. It's breaking up a little bit, Greg.
Is it any better now?
Better, yeah.
Yes.
I think you got a hold of Jim Drakus's old microphone.
Okay, let me just suggest again that what you're going to see is we're trying to look down the road in terms of the level of communication and the amount of work we're doing out of this office, trying to be able to efficiently get information back to the demands that come through this office, whether it be a constituent, whether it be a business, whether it be another elected official. The amount of information that's flowing through this office is becoming more exponential rather than linear. So we're just trying to plan and be able to provide additional best service, best practices, really.
Now, that the current figure, 250, that represents how many employees under your office?
Well, I don't know. Vern, maybe you can answer, but it's just Dyer and then Dyer.
Dyer, Leticia, and yourself.
I see.
See, HR is, that's not identified, but HR is under the mayor's office. So.
I see, yeah. And you're looking to increase by one employee or two employees?
Yes, one employee.
And this would be something that would help Dar with her with her work. And
exactly.
Yeah.
It's exactly everything. I think all of you know that Dar does a great job, but it's hard to do all she does, plus to try to facilitate disseminating information. And it's and remember, people like to think this is an 8-to-4 job, but most of the heavy lifting she does gets done, after the phones close at 5:00. So it's not fair to have one person try to keep up with me for sure.
I see. Does our new communication director, does she have any responsibilities as far as getting information out from your office?
The public information, yes.
I see.
But there's a great deal of information dealing with day-to-day individual requests. People need answers quickly on a timely basis. And then, I don't know if it's just more. I think what I've experienced this year, more people call to talk, more people just call to complain, more people just, they need to communicate with somebody, and guess who they communicate with? The mayor's office.
Your office, yeah.
I mean, I could have two phones on my face all the time. But Dar does a great, this is by no means a distraction from the fact that Dar does a great job. But if I can't, I need two Dars to try to be efficient.
Well, yeah, plus she's at that point where she'd like to use some of her vacation, accrued vacation time, and she's finding it difficult to even schedule that because she can't afford to leave the mayor's office unstaffed for the number of times that she has available to take.
Kind of sounds like the situation Council's in with Debbie.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah, pretty much. It's like, that's the reality of this job. It's just becoming more demanding, and people want more timely responses. They just want they want someone to talk to, or they want an answer, or they want a vent. And I get a lot of all of them. And Dar, again, does a great job, but she can't be here every day for the amount of hours that the job demands. So we just bring it to your attention, a reality.
Sure. Yeah. Very good.
I'm sorry.
Oh. No, go ahead, Mayor.
No, that's the answer to that question.
Very good. No, that's fully understandable, but it's better to hear it from you too, explaining and something you take for granted. And the people we have, too, we need to bring in some younger people because the time's coming that a few years down the road they're not going to be here. So we need to bring younger people to give the experience to and have them be our future leaders in that particular area.
Well, you've heard me say over the last this year, building the bench.
Yeah.
You've heard me repeat that comment about building the bench, and we have you just identified one of our challenges. We have some multi-talented people, but they're on the one end of the spectrum, and if we don't start backfilling and building the bench, then we're going to lose that continuity, lose that experience or that transition of information.
Yeah. Right. Jim.
Thank you, Mr. Vice Mayor. Mayor, what do you think about if this position is approved, what do you think about working with council to have this person be a backup for Debbie and perhaps be trained for Debbie so that we don't have to have the same situation that we just talked about, she can't take her day off and what nor can Dar, and maybe you got someone who does some roving back and forth and could be a backup and do some of the meetings.
Well, obviously we need a backup for Debbie. There's no question about it. I guess somebody said earlier, but it's similar to what Dar and Debbie go through in terms of their tenure, their time, and we don't have a backup for either one of them, really. So we can look at something that is accommodating. That would be maybe something we should look at.
Mr. Mayor, does Gail's, does her coverage sometime overlap into your department?
Gail kind of likes, she's all over, you know, I mean, Gail can't really do Debbie's job, and she really can't do Dar's job because it's kind of like you're spread too thin, and you can't just, you can fill in for temporarily, but you can't do the job because it's not your job. Does that make any sense?
Right. Yeah, she kind of fills in those areas that it's hard to categorize, but I mean, she's come up with some good, you know, for example, the banners we have with the veterans and that, different programs, specialized programs. But I think Debbie's who we need to eventually fill in for Debbie and for Dar, two different skill sets, I think. Of course, Debbie's with her expertise and taking minutes and being really knowledgeable for council matters and everything. Where Dar is more or less in the executive branch, and you're right. Important. So it's two different legislative and executive, or two different. So it's hard to train somebody for both, and then so you almost need one for each area.
We'll keep looking. We want to throw it in there so it's not a surprise, and you understand that the amount of. This has been a pretty interesting year, I can tell you. All my years of public service, this one is this one takes the cake in terms of demand, and I think a lot of it has to do with people. They just need someone to talk to, so they call the mayor's office.
Yeah. Well, that's why it's so important looking at the totality of the appropriations. We have expanded needs that your office has. We have a new proposal for that for the water and sewer, and then we have an expanded request from economic development. So it'd be nice to say, well, we got an extra $1.5 million we can put towards these, but we got to really categorize and prioritize what's right. The most important, and maybe not do it all at one time, but especially with economic development. But we do need, like you said, to fill the bench. We do need that. That's personnel is so important, and people's future health is so unpredictable that you wouldn't want to take anything for granted. You want to be prepared.
And that's our goal.
Very good, Mayor. Any other question regarding the mayor's office from council?
So I'm just kind of wondering, in terms of adding this new position, is there, because of COVID and the shutdown, I don't know, there's a receptionist position there at the front desk of City Hall. Well, no one's coming to City Hall. Do we still need a receptionist there? Can that position be reimagined into this somehow? Have we explored all those possibilities for, you know, redeploying the administrative manpower and womanpower that already exists in City Hall to this purpose?
Absolutely. We do that on a daily basis, trying to find out if someone can fill this need, fill that need, and not jeopardize or compromise their current responsibilities. And then you take, I think someone else identified it earlier, people have time off. And then all of a sudden, just when you think you got the system working, going on vacation. So it's, when you take the amount of time that people have accumulated and during their 10 years of public service, and you start to realize that it doesn't leave a lot for overlap. But we do that constantly, and you'll hear from the next, I think, for doing that right now through all the various community services and recreation, those departments. We're trying to find out, we're taking a three-pronged approach to the long-term strategy of our economic viability. You know, one is if robust, one is status quo, and one is if we need to get the lifeboat out. I think most communities are, most of the mayors I talk to, everyone's trying to take that three-pronged approach, and most of them are focusing on get the lifeboat out. So. I'm not going to be naive to the situation. We just have to be nimble enough to be able to adjust accordingly pretty quickly.
Councilman Siddick, to your question, sure, I think any consolidation has to be looked at to see if there's some efficiencies to be gained or some new ways to go about it. I will say, even though the front door is locked and people have to call from the front lobby, it seems like the public at large is using the phone more, because our department has become the backup to when the front desk is not staffed. And so we have the technology, Ryan set it up where the 4131 line rings down in our office and we grab it. And I know there's been a couple occasions here where I've had all of my staff in here and they've all picked up one of the 4131 calls, and then so the next one rolls over to me myself, and there's what, five of us here. So I'm not saying it's that busy 8 hours a day, 5 days a week, but you have those episodes where you're scratching your head, you're like, geez, oh man, we're getting a lot of calls here.
It's a recurring theme, Bert. I hear a lot from clients, you know, the accounting office, that those operations have to continue, pandemic or no. And so you folks are there every day. Other people could work remotely, but you guys have to be there. And so it's a good the office. Now you're getting all those calls. And yeah, I've heard that many, many times over the last.
Make sure we pay the bills. That's all.
we're glad to help out. We're glad to just pitch in and make sure that the building keeps running the way it's intended to.
Very good. Anything further on the mayor's office? I guess we'll try to get through page 12 here, Vernon, if we can. We have finance department. That's your department.
Correct.
There's a good chance to cut.
Yeah, hey, let's cut on, there now.
We're already asking for less money than was approved year to date, so. We're not looking for any changes. We're hoping to. Our big initiative for 2021 is going to be instituting ACH payments, and so that's our department's 2021 overriding goal is to greatly diminish the use of paper checks and go to ACH finally and get into the 21st century here. So that will make us a little more productive, and I don't know of anybody's talked about any retirements and so forth, but going forward, if anybody's looking at cutting their hours back because of their life situation, maybe this ACH system will allow us to maintain the existing level of service without having to do a one-for-one replacement at that time. So. It's the way of saying we're hoping to gain some efficiencies here by implementing the ACH payments. But yeah, you see the 518.5 we're requesting for 2021 is about 20,000 less than it's approved for the department for this year.
Very good. Any other questions for Vern?
Hey, Vern, you should take the mayor out to breakfast and tell him how you're doing it.
Yeah, exactly what he wants to hear, right?
Go ahead, pile on, you guys. Go ahead.
Very good. Well, I guess
this is vodka. What the heck?
Who or how many people get included on the wages slash on the wages line?
There's one, two, three of us full time, and two part time. And the one part time's a little more than half time, and the one part time's probably like three quarters time plus. Oh, you know what? I'm sorry. And there's Dennis too, over in purchasing. So
Dennis is in your.
Correct. Yeah.
I see. So it's four full time.
Correct.
Hey, I got HR. You got purchasing.
Yeah, yeah.
And economic development gets their own.
Very good.
They heard of breakfast too.
Who's buying?
Very good. So we can move on to the council office?
Yeah, your department looking kind of the same. We're based on 2021 budget. It looks like we could get by with a little bit less than what was approved for 2020.
Very good. Well, the only thing in here this could possibly change is we do get a part-timer, but... you know, or somebody, but that's something we could look at. I think we were talking about somebody that works for a couple of various departments too, to bring in slowly. But because right now it's perfect as the way it's set up now. But we were talking about bringing on somebody to hopefully give Debbie some relief as we move forward.
So is that line where it says part-time wages council? Does that reflect Gail then, or yeah. What?
That's mostly the six, seven members of council.
Oh, gotcha.
Okay. Gail's probably in general government.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gail, Ala, and Monica when we flip to the next page, but I don't think we'll be getting there today.
Why not?
Well, coming on 5:30, you got a limited... We keep going. I do have cross-country awards night, though, online at another venue, so I have to get ready for that and then make sure I could get logged on to Google Meets, and I got some prep for that. I do have to kind of make that deadline this evening.
Well, we'll finish up right with just the law department. I think there's not much more than we can have. The 385 you have is quite a bit more than what we've had, but is that taking into other special circumstances into account, or?
That's reflecting the fact that you could see through the month of the end of October through 10 months, we were already at 304,000, and using Councilman Sinek's way of doing it, which I like to too. You know, you take the 304,000 divided by 10 months. We've been spending 30,000 a month.
Yeah.
And you annualize that at 12, and you're at 365. So we just know that some of the last couple law department bills attributable to this line, they're a little bit higher, but some of his legal services get billed out to other lines, and specifically in the self-insurance account, but they've been averaging a little bit closer to 45,000 a month. So we just want to make sure if that's a long-term trend that we have enough money appropriated for that.
Well, we got a lawsuit coming up that's not going to go away. We're paying a second lawyer, and that could be a 2-3-4 year expense.
Well, and that doesn't, for the most part, does not get expensed out of this line. This is more the day-to-day legal services that the law director provides to all of you, to the mayor, to the department directors. The expenses you're referencing to, Councilman Craig Trakas, we mostly have been expensing out of the self-insurance fund. So those are in addition to this line.
Wow.
Yeah, wow. Should have been an attorney, right?
I tried.
Ooh.
Very good. Well, I think we're going to probably stop at this point, but we have to look at what our next, because we still have to cover pages 13 and then not all of 14, but half of 14, the mayor's court. And then we have to get to the five-year plan, too. So as far as committee members, I know, Debbie, is there going to be a planning commission meeting next week?
Yes. We have one item on the agenda.
I see. So I was hoping if there wasn't, we could go right after economic development. Although I think I know, Ken, you have, I think you have a class later on that day.
Yeah, I have a three-part hard stop on the first.
It's less than 24-hour notice, but you got a 4:30 public lands meeting tomorrow. If you wanted to go at 3:30 and just knock out at page 13 and 14 in an hour tomorrow.
You can't do that.
Yeah, less than 24 hours.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, that gives next Monday. How was next Monday with the...
Well, let me just interrupt. So could we do it after then? If we say 24 hours, like, or no, that's cutting it too close.
I don't know how long Chris's meeting's going to go tomorrow.
Yeah, I hate that.
I was going to reschedule my meeting for you guys, but I think Dennis has already made arrangements with...
No, that wouldn't help us.
No, we would.
Legally, that wouldn't work out.
Later rather than sooner, no.
How was your budget?
90 minutes for public lands, and we met from 6 to 6:30 and knocked it out in a half hour. I hate to have umpteen meetings, but we are getting to that point, and I think we'd like to knock this out, and if we're not going to vote on it on December 8th, vote it up or down on December 15th, so we don't have to really get together that last week or two of the year.
You want to do it tomorrow? We can do it if it's after public buildings and lands.
Thinking.
I don't know if the rest of it's that complicated.
I don't think it's going to take that long, to be honest with you.
Just from a public perspective, I mean, you really want to give more than, a notice like that. I mean, I think, 24 hours is our minimum. I don't think it'd be fair to the public to do that.
I mean, really, Vice Mayor, I'm just looking at these 13 and 14. I mean, is general government, is there anything that... I don't see anything that's...
Hey, Dave?
Yes, Dale.
Somebody's been on from community services since the beginning of the meeting. Did we skip them, or...
Yeah, we never tackled that.
We do have community services yet, but that's pretty quick.
We did that because you guys had the question about where did the transportation for the adult bus trips and 55-plus lunches get expensed prior to them being separate line items. And
we had Civic Center on page 5, I believe.
Right. I thought we got through that and we stopped at rubbish there since there wasn't any from
right.
At that point.
Right. Yeah, because we talked about the 55-plus lunches and the different things.
Lots and everything, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, Amber, it looked like I handled it for you.
Yeah, sorry about that, Amber. Yeah, we discussed that matter on last week. Well, Bert, do you think that if we schedule a meeting for next Monday, would you be able then we could transition right into the five-year plan?
Capital plan, too. That would be Monday the 30th?
Yes.
Okay. Which time's good for the committee?
I am free all day there, so whatever the committee says, I am, it's just fine with me.
I heard 3:30.
Works for me.
3:30? Dale's 3:30 okay with you?
Which day?
Next Monday.
The 30th.
I gotta go check my other calendar. Next.
Jeez, the retired guy's got the busiest schedule.
Yeah, because with the holiday this week, the rest of this week is kind of out, and since we have Planning Commission, and then, of course, Ken wouldn't have been available Tuesday. And I have Thursday, I have my big tax seminar next week.
What about December 2nd? Do you want to do it with the Utilities and Streets meeting that you guys wanted?
On the 2nd, would we want to tackle that?
Jim's not on anymore. I don't know what happened to Jim.
Well, look, I agree that finishing up page 13 and 14 of the operating budget won't take a long time, but if we do use this meeting to transition into the five-year CIP, that's easily a meeting in and of itself. I don't know if we should really dovetail that with another meeting. We will be on for many, many hours if we do a finance meeting and another committee meeting the same day.
What did we say, Monday at 3:30?
Yeah, Monday looks good. I mean, I could go a long time on next Monday if council is ready to dig into that five-year plan.
Well, I've already tentatively set it, and that way if Dale can make it final enough, now we can change it.
Vern, you'll be ready to discuss the five-year plan next Monday?
Sure.
And Ken, you said 3:30 sounds good to you?
Yeah, you're perfect. Yeah.
Okay. Dale, if you can let us know as quickly as possible, we'll tentatively schedule the next finance meeting for 3:30 on the 30th.
I'm good.
Oh, good. Good. Then it's not tentative. It's set for 3:30 next Monday. And if anybody can allow themselves maybe a good, at least till 6 o'clock, we can hopefully knock out a lot of the five-year plan, too.
Excellent. Thank you.
Hey, Vice Mayor, if I may follow up to
your
question about the situation on Rockside at the hotel. Male was charged with felonious assault. We've identified some of the witnesses, and they're going to be, detectives are bringing them in to identifying the accomplices. Also, we talked to GM at Embassy, and we're talking about different operational issues that can help prevent this in the future.
That's the update. What time did that happen, Mayor, approximately?
I thought it was Saturday night at about 2 o'clock, 2 a.m.
I see.
Mayor, how many patrolmen do we have, or police officers do we have again? I was asked that question, and
I think there's 34 in the department. That's all, and they're not all. Remember, we dispatched some to some special groups, and with some of them, and there are a lot of them that are detectives and different responsibilities. Okay, they're not all patrolmen.
Okay, thank you.
And we have 4 med shift.
I'm sorry.
And we have 4 officers med shift, or is it less because of vacations and other situations?
Well, it's 3, but sometimes it can go as high as 5 and 6.
Right, but typically it's 3.
I believe it's 3 plus those that are working off their off duty, which is like an extra policeman. They have 2 of those at Topgolf. So I consider them, that's why we've had such good response time in some of those recent situations.
So I imagine, Mayor, they probably were there pretty quickly in this situation too?
Yeah, this is another one of those bizarre situations, but the goal is to meet with the GMs at Embassy Suites, because that's pretty, we haven't had a situation like this, but we're going to go over some of the operational issues that could prevent this type of situation in the future.
Very good. Thank you for keeping us informed.
Yep. How many officers responded to the incident?
You know, I don't know, Dale.
Any other questions before I get a motion to adjourn? So we're all set. We'll continue the discussion. We'll finish up the appropriations and move on to the five-year plan next Monday, the 30th at 3:30. Do we have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, everyone. Thank you, everybody.
Night, everybody.
Good night.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.